And they say, what the hell, though, why should I run? I can't run the ball up there. But you just have to do it, keep, and you have to stop it before it goes on. We had one guy, before you get a bonfire started.
Yeah.
I know Chicago, we had one guy that was bitching and complaining all the time to the rest of them, and I got sick and tired of it. And I says, hey, aren't you tired of griping and groaning? I says, you'll get a chance, maybe. But in the meantime, let's have a little harmony down there. And he says, and he continues on. I says, don't be bitching to me. I says, I'll get the general manager on the phone. And I went and I got on the phone. I says, hey, here, Mr. So-and-so wants to talk to you. He wouldn't come to the phone. Mm-hmm. But that ended it.
Yeah.
It's
Do you attribute your aches and pains to your catching days?
No, the funny part of it is I probably spent more time on my knees when I wasn't playing, and especially later on when I was coaching, working with the pitchers in the pen, getting them ready for their next days, and I probably spent more time on my haunches than I did my playing days, because, well, I was never meant to have been like a first-string catcher. I wasn't that durable. But my knees never bothered me. Isn't that funny?
Lucky.
Yeah, but you know what? I've got it, and I didn't have this problem until about last summer. See, I played so damn much golf, so I was playing, walking and playing 18 holes every day, and that swinging and twisting and demonstrating. Finally, you know, with the pitchers, like I was showing you all at the monsters and stuff. Well, that started to show on me, and then that swinging that club. But it got me right in the groin, that came from the club. But my hip was from being the monster, and it was, you know, because I pitched batting practice every day up until I was 62, and they're still on my haunches.
Yeah.
But that finally started to go. But up until then, I didn't have a bit of trouble.
Yeah, well, sometimes the arthritis comes later.
It come later. Yeah. And you know what? And then it came later. Then I was goofy enough. I said, gee, I can't stand this. I can't swing like I did or would like to. I went and got the three series of shots of cortisone. Never helped. As a matter of fact, it got worse.
Yeah.
And like I say, when I'm not, don't have these pain pills in me, this is how I get up out of a chair.
Oh, yeah.
Like Norman does.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm getting up like this, and then I get like this, and then I get up. But now I can do most anything.
I got back problems, it's exactly the way I am.
Yeah, and I got it in my hip, now it's starting to...
But you still play golf, though?
After a fashion. Well, I played golf. But then as the season was about over with, I knew I was in trouble. I was already starting to take some pain pills then. Jesus, it's just really bad. Now, I can't walk up those stairs but one step at a time. Now, I can do anything I want. But I can feel it starting to wear off. By mid-afternoon, I'll be having to take some more, but I won't take any now because I took too much.
Do you remember Eldon Auker?
Only as a spectator, so to speak. You mean when he was with Detroit?
Down here.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever see a left-handed underhand pitcher?
No, I can't remember.
I've been searching for one for a long time, and I can't find anybody who's ever seen one.
No, I can't remember anybody.
Did you work with any right-handed underhand pitcher?
Yeah, we had a few of them that tried it, but they weren't too effective.
He did it because he had to.
Yeah.
From a shoulder injury.
There's a different thing, but he had a good delivery, and he mastered it. But now, if he was a herky-jerky type, he'd probably have to give up. But he mastered it.
Yeah.
Because it's more natural for you to come this way than up and roll.
And Ewell Blackwell.
Yeah, the whip. Now, he was, like you always use the expression, he was destined to have a bad arm. He not only whipped it back here, but he whipped it in his delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very effective regardless of what pitch he used, because he was tough to pick up and tough to hit,
mm-hmm.
and he was also fast, but he didn't last that long.
No.
See, Tommy John was the same way, too. He had a quirk back here. And I says, okay, have that quirk back here, then wait till you come out of it, and then go. Instead of having that quirk and starting to the plate,
mm-hmm.
you can never get back up there. The best you could do was this one. This would be your trajectory. Instead of here, it would be this way. You'd be high away from right-handers all the time. And on the fat part of the bat. It took a long time, and I had to work with him, but he's very good. You see how he's laying? You see that picture of him up there?
Mm-hmm.
You see how he's laying back?
Mm-hmm.
He never used to lay back in there like that.
Yeah.
And that gave him a chance to get that arm up. He'd lay back. When that arm would start up, then he'd start driving. But but as time went on, he got a lot of pitches you were talking about because he was always down there.
Mm-hmm.
And he got by, like, if you chased one, well, he'd go a little bit lower.
Yeah.
And you chase that one again. Paul Wainer told me that one day. We were sitting and having a beer after a ball game. And he said, Ray, did it ever occur to you that next to a man's strength is also his weakness? And I said, say that again. He says, next to a man's strength is also his weakness. I said, what do you mean? He says, all right. He says, take a high ball hitter, a high fastball hitter. He says, you move that ball in on him, he can't handle it, but he'll chase it because he's a high fastball hitter. He says, the same way with a low ball hitter. He says, just got to go low, go a little lower with him. But then again, you have to have a pitch if you get behind him and have to give in to him. Like if you got a good change of pace or something like that, like the left-hander with Atlanta, can't think of his name.
Glavin.
Yeah, you notice how he's out here all the time. Fine, chase it. If you don't chase it now, the hitter's got you. That right-hander, he pulls a string on you.
Mm-hmm.
He's got those two pitches. That one particular pitch is a pay pitch. You're talking about. Not being able to throw curveballs, we had a guy by the name of Locker, Bob Locker, had a good sinker, and he wanted to throw a curve. You'll never be able to throw a curve because you don't have the delivery, or the wrist, or all the necessary things to be able to throw. You have to change your style of pitching. If you change from the sinker to the other. He'd throw his sinker about, like here, 3/4, see where his hand would be over the top, and he could give it that. I said, now, how in the hell can you throw a curveball with the same thing? You can't get it back this way and bring it down. And I said, he says, is that why I get stiff in my elbow? I said, yeah, you're snapping. Mm-hmm. Of course, you'd be like this, and then throwing that way. This way doesn't hurt you, but this way will give you a big scar in the fixings.
Yeah.
Sure, and in my demonstrating with some of these guys, damn, if I didn't have to go and have 18 pieces of chips taken out of my elbow. Yeah, just from being demonstrative.
From showing them the mistake.
Yeah. Gee. I was coming home one night from after a game in Chicago. Oh, damn, I couldn't steer the car. I got to work and my arm locked. There I was, walking around my arm. Everybody thought I was nuts. I couldn't get it out of it. Chips in there. Finally, we had a real good bone man at that time. Did a lot of bone surgery for the railroad people and all that. And he was very good. And cost me $300. Clubs didn't pay for it those days. So he gave it to me for $300. He was sorry for me.
You played for several managers. And you coached for an awful lot of managers. Of all of them, if you had owned a team when you were a player and when you were a coach, who would you have hired to manage your team?
I would hire two. They paralleled each other in running the ball club. That'd be Paul Richards and Al Lopez. Al was always ahead of an inning or ahead of you all the time, and so was Paul. Paul was demanding, and and maybe Al was too in some respects, but I would have to pick those two as the best that I had seen.
Did the players like playing for them?
Gee, I was never on the bench. I could never stay on the bench. I was always out in the pen working with the pitchers, and so I. Every once in a while, somebody says, geez, Al is giving me hell for this, that, and the other. I remember one day, you're talking about disliking. We made a catcher out of J.C. Martin. He was a third baseman. We didn't think he'd ever hit enough, run well enough. But he's strong. He had a good arm, very good arm. And we made a catcher out of him. But he worried about his base hits, and when he didn't get a base hit, you know, and then he'd come back on the bench and he'd pout. And that would make Al madder in hell, because Al thought that when a catcher gets back on that bench, he should start thinking about the opposition when they're coming to the plate. He couldn't stand a guy moaning and groaning. Well, anyhow, J.C. was a little bit that way. A real good guy. And the first inning, I mean, the first time he's up, he hits a line drive and somebody makes a spectacular catch. And he comes back moaning and groaning. Al didn't say anything to him. Anyhow, here's a ground ball hit. And it was a tough play for the second baseman. And he makes a bad throw to first. J.C. still standing at home plate. And Al says, come here. Take the tools off. And he says, why? He said, I haven't got time to tell you now, but if you want to know tomorrow, I'll tell you. So Junior, he come to me, and I said, that'll be nice. So he's going to tell you why you were taken out, because you asked. And so we went in Al's office. He says, he kind of apologized for what he had not been on the ball and backing up to play. And Al says, no catcher's going to do that to me. So when you're that damn tired, and the first part of the ball came, he says, I'm going to get you out of there. But I taught him a lesson. You know, you have to sometimes wake somebody up. But I think when a lot of this happens, and you become grossly animated. You know, you're intense, and geez, you probably say something that if you said it the next day, it had an entirely different meaning. And some guys you had to get on. Other guys you couldn't. But Al was very good. And I could work. Well, I worked. Marion was a good manager and a good, but they handled people differently.
Well, Richards, I've heard that Richards could be too smart, too brainy for the players.
Well, he liked to do something a little in an unorthodox fashion every once in a while, you know. And it worked. I remember one time we're playing, and sometimes you can pull a sandlot, the dumbest sandlot thing, and boys herald it in the big leagues. You know, it's blown up. They had never, a lot of the writers had never seen it, or people either, you know. Like one day in Pittsburgh, or in Boston, we had Billy Pierce down there. We're going to get him ready for his next outing, you know, like... Sometimes you took a guy to the pen just to spend some time with him, work with him on something. And finally we got down into the last inning, and I'm working with Billy, and Paul calls. He says, Ray, he says, is Billy throwing and he's warmed up? I said, yeah, I'm getting him ready for his next start. He says, is he throwing pretty good? I said, yeah, he's throwing real well. He said, send him in. He sent him in to pitch I think it was the second out, I don't remember which. Anyhow, there was a man in second base in scoring position, and he was going to tie us up, you know, if he gets a base hit. So he brings in Billy Pierce to pitch to Williams. What the hell is his name? Anyhow, he takes the pitcher out, moves him to third base. Billy gets the hitter out, it was Williams. Now he pulls Billy out and brings the pitcher back in. The pitch to the next hitter, right-hander. Oh, man. Paul liked to do things like that.
What makes a... How can you sum up what makes a manager a good manager?
Some just have... are more baseball savvy. Some run the game a little bit better, a little differently. They know your abilities, your faults, and your...
Mm-hmm.
And you just play to your strength. Like, I'll never forget... I can't think of the guy's name either. We had a little infielder, and it was down in the ninth inning.
Fox?
And he was the first guy up. Yeah.